Today on Compassion Radio.
The people that actually run the country are kind of like the cabal of religious elders or theocracy.
Yes. The party in China today, you know, one professor at Beida said, the party is like God. Mm. You don't see him, but he is everywhere.
Yeah.
And they would say the party is supreme. Now, they would argue that's a good thing. They show the recent modernization of China, lifting people out of poverty, and they say that the future of China depends upon the party remaining intact and in control.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way. You know, many of us have seen the recent images of the Chinese Communist government cracking down on the people of Hong Kong simply because they want to live free. Well, today, Bram catches up with our anonymous friend, Dr. China, who updates us in a way that you won't hear on any of the mainstream news outlets. Here's Bram with part three of that conversation.
Dr. China, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you very much. It's good to join you again. They say that Taiwan is part of our country, Hong Kong is part of our country, Macau is part of our country. Now they're adding a few little islands in the ocean at the moment.
Building their own, yeah.
But they say this is the unified Middle Kingdom. This is China. We will not be divided. You can't leave. Number one priority in the party's mind, I'd say head and shoulders above any other single item. What I like to remind my friends of is that ask them, what war did the U.S. lose more citizens than any other war?
Hmm.
You can quickly look at the chart. Not World War I, not World War II, as horrific as they were, but the Civil War. And we can talk about the slavery issue, but most historians would probably suggest that it wasn't slavery as much as secession from the Union that was at stake.
Yeah.
And we defend and say, well, that was the right thing to do. Well, China would say, this is our position as well. You can't just secede from the Union, and that's what Chiang Kai-shek did when he took his boatloads of gold and so on and so forth over to the island of Taiwan. Now, hear me well. I'm not saying I personally agree with the writing of history that's presented. But I do think it calls for us, before we can engage a country, we need to understand how they're thinking.
And we need to understand how well they're reading our own history.
Absolutely.
So they think of themselves on the same moral plane as we do about their reunification of our own nation. It was ideals for us that were at stake, either the rights as written in our original constitution for states to be a supreme authority within their territories and to join together for common cause, or the United States versus this is the United States of America, which is what we say today. So it was a big open question and a big open wound for like 90 years of our history.
Absolutely was.
And the scab is still there, of course, because lots of other smaller issues and smaller battles still being fought after the big action. We understand those things to be cultural issues or moral issues with race relations and economic equity and those kind of things. What is the big issue for China? How does China reflect that same attitude that we are not complete without the additions or the reintegrations of places like Macau, Hong Kong, and Taiwan especially?
I think it's very frontal, very blunt. They say, we are one nation. This is China. And they would include, of course, in that Tibet.
Hmm.
They're very sensitive about the minority areas around Urumqi, out in the west. They would say, we're one country. This is who we are. Now, they would go on to define it with the dash line on the in the ocean, and that's another very significant part of the discussion, how much of the ocean is really China.
Yeah.
And so that gets into freedom of navigation discussions and so on and so forth. But I think your listeners need to understand, China will not bend on this.
Yeah.
They will not. This, to them, is sacred.
Okay, so speaking from an atheistic idea of sacredness, there is no higher authority or spiritual entity than the state. It'll be persistent over many generations then.
Well, when they say, you know, Xi Jinping has made it clear, he says the religion of the party is atheism. So the party is supreme in all matters inside of China.
And so the plenum of elders, then, you might call it, not just of elected officials within the party, the people that actually run the country are kind of like the cabal of religious elders or theocracy.
Yes. The party in China today, you know, one professor at Beda said, the party is like God. You don't see him, but he is everywhere.
Yeah.
And they would say the party is supreme. Now, they would argue that's a good thing. They show the recent modernization of China, lifting people out of poverty, and they say that the future of China depends upon the party remaining intact and in control.
And they're playing a long game, for sure. And I know we can't tackle the envisioning of the political reality of East Asia for the next 100 years in this conversation, nor do I really want to, because this really is in God's hands. And the whole ethic of our program and of your work is that God will work out his plans as he wants to. But our bigger concern, you and I both, is that the kingdom is on the ground, and the kingdom is two systems living within China, honoring God and honoring their patriotism to their own country. They do feel those things like many Americans do about their own country. And that's sometimes hard for us to understand, that even if they're being persecuted and they know they're being persecuted or might face persecution at any moment, they still love their country and still want to be obedient to the powers and authorities that God has placed over them to the extent that it honors God. How do you see it affecting the relationship right now between the church and the state as the issue of Hong Kong grinds on?
To the average Christian inside of China, Hong Kong is really not on their radar screen. They would admit that Hong Kong is a part of China, legally, historically, and it's about time that it came back, and they would probably be supportive of that. The deeper issue right now is as Xi Jinping is changing his tune, and in the 2017 regulations, it's become very apparent that it's not just wording changes, but there's teeth to it.
Yeah.
And the dual citizenship of true believers is going to be a challenge.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up right after this.
When God says go, his presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we had. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Hi, this is Carl Muller. You know, for over 30 years, I've been involved in ministry around the world. From Campus Crusade for Christ, now CRU, behind the Iron Curtain and in Central Asia during the last years of communism, to working with large and influential churches like Saddleback Church as a pastor to single adults, and also to leading global ministries like Open Doors with Brother Andrew, known affectionately as God Smuggler by many millions. Also as the head of Biblica, the International Bible Society, helping more people around the world have a copy of God's Word in their heart language. Ministry to me has been the opportunity to bless people who desperately need to know the truth of the gospel and hear the compassion of God's people and feel that compassion throughout their lives. I want to heartily endorse Compassion Radio for its innovative and far-reaching stories that capture the heart, that inform people as to what God is doing in the most difficult places around the world. I've had the opportunity to travel with Norm and Cher Nelson when Norm was host of Compassion Radio. We went to North Korea together. We went to the Middle East together. Having the opportunity to travel and to see firsthand what Compassion Radio does to tell the story of Christians around the world who suffer for their faith was amazing. And now with Bram and his team, I really believe that the tradition, the integrity, and the foundation of Compassion Radio is poised for an even greater season of growth. I heartily endorse them to you, and I pray that you would be blessed by the message of Compassion Radio in your life.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
The dual citizenship of true believers is going to be a challenge. Here in America, we can say, I am a proud USA citizen. I'm also a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and hold the two somewhat, you know, together with, you know, other's tensions, to be sure, because the U.S. government doesn't demand I be an atheist.
Right.
To be an effective member of citizenry.
It's not a paradox yet, because there's not a supreme law that demands allegiance.
Not yet. It may come to it. But at the moment, we can do that. We're allowed to be a committed follower of Jesus and also an American citizen. It's getting more and more difficult. And in recent days, since 2017, moving forward, especially last year, they're expecting flags to be shown inside the church, outside the church. Mm-hmm. Many churches seem to feel required to sing or play the national anthem. Now, again, if it was just Chinese pride in nationality, you know, we've had 4th of July services in which we sang patriotic songs.
We honor our armed services and celebrate their days of recognition.
Of course. So I don't think we want to become anti-Chinese. But when the party says we are in control of everything, as Xi Jinping did in his speech, we control everything from north to south, east to west, and we are atheistic, it's a little concerning for the Christians, to put it mildly. Then the twofold purpose of Xi Jinping now and the party is twofold in regards to all religion, not just Protestantism.
Yes.
First, minimize it. If your cross shows by a bullet train or by a major freeway, take it down.
Mm-hmm.
In Hernan, the crosses have been torn down with impunity.
Yes.
In Zhejiang, we see more and more of that. Now, it's not even across the country, but it's a concern.
As we traveled on our last trip to China, I noticed in that long stretch, maybe 1,000 miles of rail, that I could count at least a few dozen major edifices that had a cross or some kind of Christian symbol on it that were visible to these major thoroughfares. And they're all in different states along the way. So each of these districts of China have different governances, and some are more liberal than others on a certain level. But you're saying now that Xi Jinping is seeing this himself from his own train cars and saying we need to unify our policy about the visibility of these kind of religions.
I want to minimize the presence of religion. So it's not dominant. It's not, it doesn't continue to grow. You know, if their view is to grow the Communist Party, no question, the single biggest threat to them is evangelical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that. And so I don't think any of us can argue it. And if people have a deep allegiance to God of heaven, no matter how you craft it, it's a little less allegiance to the new emperor.
Let me ask you a question real quickly about their perception of evangelical Christianity in relationship to the other major religions. I was kind of surprised in visiting some of these, I call them embassies of religion in the cities that we visited, that they literally stack a layer cake of religions in the same building. They have interface offices with these different religious leaders in those areas, and they start at the bottom floor and work way at the top. You'll pass through Muslim floors and Taoism and things, and then you'll pass through Catholic at the very top of the each building was literally the evangelical Christian liaison office, as if they were giving grudging acknowledgement that that particular religion is the one that most people in the country themselves would see as being the most active and the most of interest to us as a government. Is that the way they see Christianity and in relation to the other major religions of the country?
Well, I think it's a little kept secret that evangelical Christianity was the fastest growing segment of religion in China for at least a 20-year period, maybe longer. Their concern is that the allegiance could conflict with the control of the party. To understand the Communist Party, just understand one word, control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think they're necessarily picking on Protestantism as opposed to Buddhism and Islamic. And another word that crept into the new documents is extremism.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, if we look at the last 150, 200 years, religious extremism has been a major cause of disharmony in China.
Yeah.
The Taiping Rebellion, the Boxer Rebellion, even though the Boxer Rebellion was not religious in nature per se, these people did, the martial artists did seem to have some demonic control. But Hudson Taylor even said, God has opened a great door of opening for Christianity, and he was referring to the Boxer Rebellion. These historic realities, and we've done entire lectures on this now, cause the party to say whenever we have religious extremists, we have disharmony and disunity in our country. And as Bible believers, we have a great commission. And my goal isn't to just be involved in social activity, but it's to make sure people understand they need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, that does divide.
On principle and in practice, for sure.
And Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And so I think that as Bible believers, we need to not be in denial. And while our purpose is not to destroy the country of China, but to help a healthy China, you can understand while a non-believer wouldn't appreciate that. And 1 Corinthians says the unregenerate person, the unsaved person, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God nor understand them. And so we have to, I think, move with wisdom and gentleness, but not back away from the clear claims of the gospel.
Fair enough. You have been given a special relationship with many people in power and authority across China and those who work internationally to represent the nation. So you're well-versed in the nuances, as you mentioned earlier, the 2 feet of China on your business card. They pick up on those subtle things because they're actually paying attention. What do you see, Doctor, about the future for the Christian church in China, those who are disciples of the way, those who follow Christ and are obedient to the purposes that he's set for us, to care for the needy and the orphan and to bring the news of the kingdom as far as you can possibly bring it? What's coming?
I believe that the Christians inside of China are going to have a new reality. An official, the United Front, has told me very plainly, not in a mean-spirited way, just said, we're going to give the house churches 2 more years to register, and then we're going to shut them down. Global Times, I believe it was, said 5G is now officially here.
Mm-hmm.
And 5G is not just faster internet and better phone service.
Yeah, it's persistent communication.
It has to do with an ability for total surveillance.
Yeah.
And the house churches are going to have trouble hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I'd see a new reality for them. Now, will they stop being believers? Of course not. Will they stop sharing their faith? I certainly hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But how they meet, how they congregate will be different. The registered churches are also under immense pressure.
If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.